Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. If you find your place there, also pull out your bulletin, please. Look at the back of it if you would. You will find our outline for today and our title, Got Yours? Got Yours? We put a lot of work into our PowerPoint this week, colors, designs. Trying to look a little like milk, I guess. We're on a budget. Got yours? That's the question. John 1, beginning in verse 35. The Bible says, again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. What a life-changing moment. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Look down at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him. Verse 46, And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. If we were going to paraphrase this today, several times in the passage, we would say, Got yours? Got yours? Someone that you brought to church? Someone that you brought to Jesus? If you look behind you, Miss Judy, I can ask her, Got yours? You see Brother Gary back there behind the flags? Let's welcome him back. Now, Miss Judy's been looking for hers for a long time, and she's got hers. Nobody's going to take him away. Well, did you see the sequence here in these verses that we just read? Jesus reached out to John, and John followed the Lord, and John reached Andrew, and Andrew followed the Lord. And Andrew reached out to his own brother Peter. And Peter followed the Lord. Jesus called Philip, and Philip followed the Lord. And then Philip reached out to Nathanael, and Nathanael followed the Lord. We just read all this right there in our text. Each of the disciples were reached one by one. And from this noble band of men, the whole world was reached. The message went around the world. Question is for us today, got yours? Got yours? We've got an illustration in our church this year as we begin this new Got Yours campaign, and that is found in just one that we make an example out of today. Where's Miss Kayla at today? Somewhere back here, yes. There's Miss Kayla. Miss Kayla wanted to reach out to some of her family, specifically one in her family that was really atop her heart, and raise your hand if you're here because of Miss Kayla today, at least in part, all of you that are. Look at that. Praise the Lord, huh? Give the Lord some glory there. And it really happened in sequence, one by one, and this one reached out to this one and invited this one. And it's not over with. There's more to go because we're all getting involved in the Got Yours campaign. Now ask yourself the question today. If I don't get mine, how can I expect anyone else to get theirs? If everybody has the attitude, I hope others do it, guess who will do it? None of us will do it. If we all have that attitude, I hope that this Got Yours campaign works for some other people in our church. No, if I don't get mine, how can I expect anyone else to get theirs? You know, it's a rare privilege to be a part of a church that is reaching out and seeing souls saved. That's not something to go and brag about. Let's not ride the coattails of others. Let's not say anything about it until I have reached mine, till you have reached yours. Got yours? I want to ask you that every Sunday throughout the year until we all have ours. When you look this way, I'm going to ask you, got yours? So, got yours? I want you to ask me each Sunday, got yours? No, not this year. It's time to start leading by example, not just by do as I say, not as I do. It's time to stop being a professional pastor that I've been for nearly 10 years here, satisfied with souls somewhere else being saved through our web ministry, and get back to the soul winning that I used to do and lead you to do the same thing. This is the year, 2011. Are you excited about it?
Yes.
I'm pumped about it. It's going to be great. Now, so when you look this way, I'm going to ask you, got yours, and you can ask me. And when you walk out of here, I want you to have to walk out underneath that Each One, Reach One banner. So let's just ban that aisle for exiting from now on. It always causes a problem anyway, doesn't it? As most people line up this way and then some try to sneak in by the wall. Let's just ban that aisle for exiting. Maybe if there's a fire. Okay. All right. But otherwise, let's each one come this way. And you see that banner back there? Each One, Reach One. Let's be reminded. I am entering the mission field right now. It's my duty to take the good that God has given to me and to share it with others and to bring them back with me. You know, throughout the history of Christianity, we've seen profound effects. The profound effect that one person can have upon one other person when each one reach ones, when each one has the got yours mentality. Jethro had that over his son-in-law Moses, that influence, the profound effect. Jonathan did over his friend David. Elijah over his protege Elisha. Daniel over his boss, King Darius of Persia. Jesus had it over the Samaritan woman, and the whole village was saved. The disciples had that influence over New Testament Christians one by one until they were breaking bread house to house. The church was everywhere. You know who else had some one-on-one influence? Delilah had it over a guy named Samson. You see, Satan believes in got yours too. Satan believes in each one, reach one. And it works. And since it works, let's make it work for the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? If we aren't affecting our world positively, there's no neutrality here, folks. We're affecting it negatively then. Your world, Christians, will eventually find out that you are a Christian, and then they'll wonder, why aren't you sharing it with them? Why aren't you wanting to share it? It must not be very good. It must not be worth sharing. That's the message a lot of the world gets once they learn we're a Christian and we haven't gone after them. So, got yours? Each one must reach one. Each of us are absolutely vital to God's program and the ministry of the local church. We are His hands and His feet, His voice left here on the earth. That's His plan, His design. It's a privilege, but it's a responsibility. Thank God He chooses to work through us. But He left us here for a reason. We need to take up our part of the responsibility. You know, except for rare occasions, people today are not reached in masses, in great coliseums, like sometimes they have been. Most throughout history have been reached just the same way the disciples were reached, one person sharing his or her faith with one more person, and then that person sharing it with another. If you're looking at your bulletin, please fill in our brief outline here. Roman numeral number one, let's be reminded today, each of us have a personal responsibility. A personal responsibility. In John 4, Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. It was to witness. He said, I must. That's personal responsibility. It's the same kind of thing that the Apostle Paul wrote of in 1 Corinthians 9:22, where he said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I've got to take my personal responsibility, he says. And here's our personal responsibility. It's to remember a couple of things. Number one, the worth of a soul. The worth of the soul. Let's never forget the value of just one. Sure, we're trying to fill up with hundreds, but that's for God's glory. The value is in one, in each and every one. The worth of the soul. James 5:20 on the screen says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. The worth of the soul. And don't forget, under that, the wealth of the saint. The wealth of the saint. See, we've got it. We've got the answer. We were once beggars, and now we've found bread. We've got the wealth, and we need to share it with others around us. All that God has done for us, He wants to do for others through us, and He will do it if we'll let Him. We've got a personal responsibility then to live our lives so that others will see Christ living in us and through us. And mark it down today, folks. If we bear little resemblance to Christ, we will have little fruit. There's little chance of us reaching them if we bear little resemblance to Christ. So, Roman numeral number one, we each have a personal responsibility. Number two, we each have a pressing responsibility. A pressing responsibility. You see, the time is short. The time is short. You'd have to be asleep to not see that this world is ticking down. Can you see it all around us? The time is short. There's no greater time to commit yourself fully than now. If it's ever going to get done, we're going to have to do it now. 2011 is the year for Grace Baptist Church. Got yours? Join the movement. Join the movement. Don't miss out on this. It's going to be great. The time is short. Write it down. The trumpet is certain. The trumpet is certain. We are one trumpet blast away from eternity. As 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 say, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Until then, though the time is short, though the trumpet is certain, God has left us here for a reason. And it's not just to polish wood in pews. It's not just to sit and soak and sour. We are saved to serve. We are saved to soul win. And that's what this year's got to be all about. Got yours? We want to build this year, don't we? We want to grow. We want to build. First of all, we want to build God's kingdom. God's kingdom. That can include some that aren't a part of Grace Baptist Church. It should include many that are not. We want to build God's kingdom first. Secondly, we do want to build the local church. Do you love Grace Baptist Church and want to see her grow? That's what it's all about. So we want to build God's kingdom. We do want to build the local church. And within it, we want to build each life that's here. In other words, get them saved, get them into church, and help them get right. Get right with God. Get them saved, get them to church, help them get right with God. And by the way, we, who've been here for some time even, we have to work on the ladder all the time, personally in our own lives, don't we? Getting right with God. Let's remember that we are a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. You qualify. If you feel like I've got issues, I got problems, I got sins in my life, well, then you qualify just like all of us here at Grace Baptist Church qualify. And I'm glad that we have the attitude that we are for sinners, a hospital for sinners. Not some display case for saints. I mean, what other organization requires for membership that you say, I'm bad? Okay, the Hell's Angels. I quit that over a year ago, though, so, I mean, get off my back. There's the progression. Get saved, get into church, get right. In that order, where are you at in the progression? Is it time to step up to the next level? If you have been saved and you need to find a good church, I can make a recommendation to you. Go a couple blocks down this way and then you hang a right. No. How about Grace Baptist Church right here? Okay? Yes. Church, wherever you've been in your past, church is often done wrong. I'm proud to say it can be done right. Yes, there are many hypocrites. Don't be one of them. Show that it can be done right. And listen, I believe that you'll come to church if you're truly saved, if you love Jesus. You know, one of the aspects, characteristics of a person that loves Jesus, if you love Jesus today, would you say amen? Amen. When you love somebody, you come to love the things that they love. Do you love Jesus? Hey, Jesus loved the church. Ephesians 5:25 says Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He loved it. He's not given up on it. Don't you give up on it. It can be done right. Come help us do it right. Now, some people only go to church three times in their lives. When they're born, when they get married, and when they die. Basically, when they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. Okay? The first time they throw water, the second time they throw rice, and then they throw dirt the third time. All right? Don't be one of those that only comes to church three times in your life. Well, the most important thing, as we said, is growing the kingdom. So many that we lead to the Lord this year in our new outreach programs, many of them may not come to our church or land here permanently. But listen, if they are serious in their decision, I believe that they will end up somewhere in church, and sometimes we can help them place them in something closer to them if this is too far for them or more to their liking or their demographic. We're not the only thing on the shelf out there. But we very much want to grow as a church, as Grace Baptist Church this year. We do want to fill this place up row by row. Got yours? Basically, when everybody's here, we fill up just under half of the auditorium. That means if each one gets theirs, if each one reaches one, there is room. We can all do that. And don't be surprised if when you just try to reach one like Miss Kayla did, you end up having pack a pew day a few weeks early. That's allowed, okay? No problem there. Hey, there's a lot of love here. Do you feel it? There's a lot of love in this place. We want to share it with all that we can. And listen to me today, growing churches love, and loving churches grow. And so I'm excited to see that spirit in our church. We've got more wood to polish out there. In my years here, we've baptized hundreds. Question, where are they? Where are they? Many have joined the church in my years here. Many that aren't here anymore, where are they? Well, there's a couple of examples, explanations that everybody knows. Everybody knows that we're in a town that's a little more transient than others as far as more heading out than in. We've given some really, really good families that got saved right here to some good churches wherever their job moved them. And they're like missionaries out of our church. And though we miss them terribly, would love to have them. I can't imagine how many of them that there are over nearly 10 years here. But that's not a loss when they're in church somewhere. There's good people who have transferred to other churches, you know, as the Lord has led. So there's those kind of examples. But you know, there's so many, sadly, that are just out of church. Out of church completely. Did they lose their salvation? No. The Bible says, and only God knows, the Bible says that ones like that most likely never were saved. They didn't have a salvation to lose. It wasn't genuine. They didn't really get born again here like we said when we stood them up in the front or when we baptized them or whatever. It wasn't the genuine real thing. Let me prove it to you. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 38, it's the verse that says, "The just shall live by faith." And then it says, "But if any man draw back, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, that word means judgment, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That verse is suggesting, the writer of Hebrews is saying that those of us that are still attending, we've not drawn back. It's a demonstration of the reality of our salvation. Not 100%, you know, you can't judge just by church attendance, but that's what the Bible says there. And 1 John 2:19 puts it this way. It says, "They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made known that they were not all of us." You see, they assumed back in New Testament times that if people stopped attending church, they assumed then, what's politically incorrect for us to assume today, they assumed that if you stopped attending church, you'd never been saved. That's what they assumed. Attending the worship service was a profession of faith, a way of expressing that you were saved, a way of saying, "I still believe." And they just assumed that when somebody just falls out, they assumed, well, that person must have just come to the Lord for their fire insurance. You know, I don't want to go to hell. But now they've gone back to their sin, showing that they weren't truly saved from their sin. They didn't lose their salvation. They just never really had it, never had the real thing. Now, by the way, I have come to respect a certain segment of the lost world out there, a certain segment of our lost world that I have a certain respect for, and that is those who will admit that they're lost. and that they just don't want to be saved. Those who will admit it and just say, I don't want to give up my sin. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I really do believe, but I really don't want to demonstrate it the way the Bible says to. Hey, at least they're being honest, not trying to ride the fence or have it both ways. Now listen, I don't recommend their decision. I'm horrified with their decision, but I respect their honesty. Now I know you know about the prodigal son. You know the story. Raise your hand if you've heard about the prodigal son. Have you ever heard about the prodigal pig? Let me tell you today the story of the prodigal pig. When the prodigal son got down in the pig pen, he said, This is bad. I don't like this. I shouldn't have got away. I shouldn't have left home and got away from my father like this. This is awful. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say to my father, Father, I have sinned in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And the pig said, Pardon? What's that? What you say? He says, I'm going to rise and I'm going to go back to my father. He said, Why are you going to go to your father? The pig said. Oh, you ought to see my father's house, the prodigal son said. My father's house is wonderful, and in that house there's bread enough and to spare. Even the servants in my father's house eat better than I'm eating here with you, pig. My mother's a wonderful cook and a beautiful housekeeper, and my father is rich and wise and godly, and I'm going home. I'm getting out of this pig pen. And the prodigal pig said, That sounds wonderful. That sounds great. Can I go with you? Well, sure, I guess. I'll take you home, said the prodigal. We'll be glad to have you. Have you? home they went. Home they went. And there at the door, the prodigal son said, Mom, Dad, this is my friend, the pig. He wants to come and stay with us if he can. And the mother of the prodigal says, Pardon? That's your pig? That's your friend? Yes, Mama, he wants to come home with me. Well, they were so excited to have their son back. The mother said, okay, you two come on in, but stop right there at the door, Mr. Pig. You're going to have to take a bath. We're going to need to scrub you down a little bit. You can't come into my living room looking that way. So the pig was scrubbed outside from snout to bottom, okay? And she said, Now, Mr. Pig, it's time for dinner. And the pig jumped up in the table and started to put his snout right into the food, right into the plate. She said, Stop, Mr. Pig. You're going to have to say the blessing. You're going to eat. You're going to learn how to eat with a knife and a fork. We're going to use good manners. We're going to wipe our mouths. Oh, the pig then, after dinner, wanted to go outside and sleep. Wanted to go outside and sleep in the mud like he was used to. She said, No, Mr. Pig. You're going to have to sleep in the house. You're going to sleep in a bed tonight. She made him do it. He didn't like it. After a while, you know what the pig says? He says, You know, I just don't like this. I'm not made for this. I'm going to rise and go back to my father. Remember where his father lived? And back he goes to the pig pen. Now listen, there's a lot of people that are just like that. They come to church for a while. They stay in church for a while. They say, You know, I don't like this. Many times it's because they had an attitude that stems from not being truly saved, that was just always looking for what's wrong. You'll always find it. You'll find it here, you'll find it anywhere, if you're just looking for what's wrong. And so they find stuff like that and say, You know, I don't like this, I'm not made for this. And the reason is, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the sow that was washed is returned to the mire. The Bible says that about pigs. It doesn't mean a person loses his salvation. It means they never had it at all. You see, God never called one of His children a sow. He never called any of His children a dog either. But that verse continues and says, The dog is returned to his vomit. Now, I know that's gross, isn't it? That's a disgusting thought. Not a very elegant phrase, but the Bible says it. Have you ever seen that before, a dog returned to his vomit before? It's disgusting, isn't it? The dog will eat something, it upsets his stomach, he regurgitates it, he feels better, he starts to walk off, he looks back and sees it and says, Hey, look, a warm meal. Disgusting. But a dog will do that. Now listen, that's the reason that some people go back once they come to the church. They stop attending. You'll never change the pig by washing it. They've got to be born again. You never change a dog by washing him. They must be born again. The dog's still a dog, the sow's still a sow. And they go back to their father in John 8:44. Jesus said to a group like this, "Ye are of your father, the devil." He said it in love because he wanted them to get saved. Now, just because a person is in church doesn't mean they're saved either. Don't you know that's the truth? A lot of unchurched people sitting in the pews, perhaps some even now, that come consistently. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to a Chicago area Best Western makes you a Wisconsin congressman. Okay, wait, maybe a bad example. Listen, in the same way, I'm saying in this sentence that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. In the same way, I am not saying that if you are out of church, that you aren't saved. I wouldn't assume to pronounce that kind of a judgment. But look this way, please. I've just shown you that the Bible says that God strongly recommends that if you are out of church, that you seriously investigate the strong possibility that you've never truly been saved. It's in love that I say it. It's in love that he said it. And the good news is, when you get the real thing, when you are born again, it'll change you. You are truly changed with new desires for good things and with God's help in getting rid of the old and no desire to go back. So please consider whether you are sure that you are saved. As the great Adrian Rogers once said, if your religion hasn't changed you, you ought to consider changing your religion. Get the real thing. So with that said today, let's make a brief application to those who are considering whether or not they are saved or not. Let's assume that we're not. That's the safest position. Application to the unsaved, 10 quick things, all proved by Scripture on the screen. So if you look down, you'll write down one of these L words. There's going to be 10 of them. Rapid fire, real quick. After you write down the L word, please look at the screen. And we're almost done, okay? Number one, you are lost. Number one, let the Lord bring you to the point where you recognize, I am lost. Romans 3:10 says, it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Step one is to realize you're lost. Can't be saved until you get lost. Number two, recognize in your spirit that you are longing. You are longing. Psalm 84:2 says, my soul longeth, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. I've been looking for the real thing in life and never really finding it. My flesh, my heart crieth out for the living God. Psalm 107:9 says, he satisfieth the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We've got to realize that we are lost, that we are longing for our Father. Number three, you need not labor. You need not labor. In other words, salvation is not by works. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness. It's by his mercy that we're saved. Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace that we're saved, through faith, not of ourselves. The gift of God, not of works. Galatians 2:16 says, we need to know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're lost. We're longing. We need not labor. Number four, realize that we belong to Lucifer. Until then, we just quoted Jesus, John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. No wonder the lusts of your father you will do. You've got to be born again to a new father. That's when it'll change for you. Look this way, please. You don't have to be a bad person for the devil to still possess your soul. You don't have to be. There's a lot of good people out there that haven't been born again. They just need to be saved. You must be born again. Three times Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. In 2 Timothy 2:26, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's talking about you today if you need to be saved. Ephesians 2:2 talks about our past, that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh, that's the devil right there. 2 Corinthians 4:4, look at this. in whom the god of this world, that Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Don't let the devil blind you from this today. Colossians 1:13 says, of God, that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us from the devil into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until then, we belong to Lucifer. Number 5, recognize that you are loved. You are loved. Titus 3:3 on the screen. We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. It's talking about our sinful past. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And you know John 3:16, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are loved. Number 6, you can be liberated. You can be liberated. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So Galatians 5:1 then says, we should stand fast, therefore, in that liberty in which Christ makes us free. You are loved. You can be liberated. You can receive life is next. You can receive life. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life more abundant. More abundant. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're loved. You can be liberated into life. Number 8, you will never lack. I love this promise from Scripture. The promise given only to those who know that they know that they've been born again, that they're a child of God, that God is their heavenly Father. You will not lack. Look at Psalm 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed being dead. Anyone here concerned about the economy? You've got reason to be, humanly speaking. Anybody got peace in Jesus about it? You'll never lack. Philippians 4:19, promise to the Christian, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And at the end of this world, which is coming, number 9, you won't be left behind. We just read 1 Thessalonians 4 about the rapture. Many will be left behind, but you won't if you're saved. Number 10, you will be lifted. You will be lifted. And by the way, you don't have to wait for the rapture in order to be lifted. Because even in this life, if you look at the screen, Psalm 40 and verse 2 talks about it. He brought me up also out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. If you've never been saved, the question to you today is, got yours? Salvation is available to you. Get yours today. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed now, if you're one of the many Christians gathered here, will you receive the challenge? Will you join the movement to take yours and go out and get yours from others? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Every Christian in the room ought to be at this altar today praying for this campaign. And more importantly than that, that God would just lead and use us to reach others for his kingdom. Some have already come. Feel free to come if you'd like now. But I'm going to pray that Christians would get involved, would join the movement, that next week, or soon after, you'll be able to say yes to the question, got yours? Have you ever led a soul to Christ? This is your year. Many are already coming to this altar. Let's pray and let's give the Lord time to work. And after we pray, listen, if you're here today and you're not sure that you've ever genuinely, truly been saved, Maybe you even say, I thought I was, but I don't seem to bear the fruit of the tree that God should plant when a person is saved. Come get the real, genuine article today. Get it nailed down where there's no doubts at all. Jesus said, by their fruits ye will know them. Well, what's your fruit? Listen, if you're not sure if you're saved, that's why every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is to make this private moment. Many Christians are praying for you right now that you will come, that you will get saved today. Lord, I pray for souls to be saved because of the truth of your word going out today. Lord, I pray that none are offended, that none are blinded by the devil, but that we would just see your truth and say yes to it and receive you and receive the love that we desire and long to share in this place. Lord, fill this altar with your Holy Spirit and this place. Build a great movement now as we open up this invitation to every believer in the house to come, for every lost person to come. Lord, I pray that they'd come to me, that we could privately send them out with someone who will take a Bible and help them get saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand quietly and reverently where we are. If you need room to get out, ask somebody near you. If you'd like to be saved or make sure that you're saved, would you come meet me here at the front? If you need to come to join this church, to be baptized, or any other decision, you come now. And Christians, the question is, got yours? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Challenge is to pray about this. The Bible says to pray about it. Will you pray for the Got Yours campaign and ask God what your part will be in it? Some will give some offerings. That'll help. But listen, no excuse. We've got to get our own involvement. Whether it's Tuesday night or Saturday morning or the Sunday afternoon visitation, whether it's in your own daily life, get yours and you'll bring them down to this altar. We'll be able to tell the church. If you're not sure if you're saved, I'm watching for you. If you'd like to make sure today, you come. The Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. Say yes. He's knocking on your heart's door. Let Him come in. If you'd like to make this your church home, you come. You can see we're a place that desires to tell the truth. We tell the truth, and that's what people are really looking for. Sometimes it hurts some feelings or steps on some toes, but listen, you can know you'll hear the truth when you come. If you'd like to make this your church home, you're invited to come. Now, those that are going to be baptized, you go ahead and come forward now. The invitation's not over. We're going to continue while some are praying.
Anybody? Good to see you. C-A-I-D-Y-N. Is it C-A-I-D?
Let's have another verse. Every heart praying now. Every heart praying as we have another verse.
Be a member here.